This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With Capella University's FlexPath format, you can set your own deadlines, learn at your pace, and access most coursework from anywhere at any time. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Welcome to Hell, the podcast for sinners, where you send us your tales of iniquity and we offer our infernal judgment.
So you died, get over it, we have. You think you're honestly the first one to join a Swedish cult and be sacrificed as a bear deity?
Knock back an elderflower spitz and Morris dance your way through the fiery gates for a good old-fashioned gossip with me, Daniel Fox, comedian, skincare counsellor and Hell's resident receptionist.
And me, Dane Buckley, comedian, volivant and lapsed angel.
Darling,
did we mean spritz?
Listen, we said spritz, but if the listener heard spritz, that's entirely on
that's
them.
Entirely
actually,
on
that's
entirely on them. Darling!
Bolting is hello. It is another very special episode this week.
Why?
We have a new arrival in hell.
Why?
Ta-da! Because we have a new arrival in hell, who I shall introduce. Here they come fluttering down the shelf.
I think I can hear them.
We are going to be finding out all about what a naughty little sinner this person has been as they pass through the unholy gates. In the Devil's Little Red Book today, we have a comedian, a writer, a social media starlet who straddles British and French culture to take a hilarious bilingual look at social quirks and who has earned herself an army of followers across the wide web. You may know her as the French TikTok lady. Others may know her as having the finest pink hair in Her Majesty's Kingdom. I'm still saying Her Majesty's because I'm misgendering Charles. We know her as Hell's newest arrival. Welcome to Hell, Tatty McLeod.
I love that. I actually want to steal that next time I have like to write a blurb.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the blurb that I want.
Well, before you go on stage, that whole thing every time.
Everyone's like,
just take you on tour with me.
Why is she saying Hell's newest arrival? Why does she keep saying
that? It's fantastic.
Welcome to Hell.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How was your journey down?
It was good. A couple of stairs, a lift. It's much more corporate than I imagined it.
Yeah. Okay. We're doing our best with this lighting to battle what is a very grey studio,
yes.
Which is usually habituated, is that a word, by a rugby podcast, a football podcast.
Mm-hmm. Listen, they bring good points too.
Very fit man.
Right, okay. I was like, what? No, but it would make sense because it feels corporate, and corporate is definitely, you know, a version of hell.
Yeah. That is absolutely, absolutely.
So it's spot on. But thank you for having me. I'm excited.
You're welcome. We'll start with a little cocktail, as is our tradition.
It is our tradition.
You've made this one, Dan?
I have made this one. Yeah, can you guess what is in it? I do apologise for the dust.
Did you make the mugs?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
By buying
glue gun and...
No, but seriously,
No, we bought them.
Oh, okay.
Although we might, for the people watching at home, we might have merch at one point.
One day there may be merch with
them.
They
are amazing, yeah. Okay, cool.
They are a magnet for my dog's hair. I promise I've cleaned it so thoroughly inside.
That's fine.
Not one hair will be
in there. They weren't cheap, though, were they?
They were not cheap.
No.
They look cheap. They're not cheap.
Yeah.
I just know. I can tell someone else did a lot of work with the glue gun
on this one. Some poor child somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I'm not judging you. I'm not. I mean, obviously not. We're in hell. Of course they're child labor in hell. and of course we don't judge it.
Have a little sip.
What okay.
I'm calling it a whispering devil.
Well, actually, sorry. I mean, obviously I'm going to go all French on this. Can I look at it?
Oh,
yeah.
I love that drama.
I feel...
It's a twist.
I'm not quite sure why... I mean, you know, it does feel... Where do we begin? Has this got alcohol in it?
Yes.
It is, what, a litre of alcohol?
Yes.
At 5 o'clock in the afternoon?
Welcome.
Is this the most...
Welcome!
Okay.
Yes.
No.
All right, so I'm guessing some kind of sparkler. There's some kind of sparkling wine in this.
There's a... there's a wine.
I can smell some mint, or could that be elderflower?
It is maybe both, actually, you know.
Okay, yeah, no, some good smells.
Oh, I love that you're so French, you're doing this all by nose. Sommelier. Thoughts?
Definitely elderflower.
There, yeah.
Mint.
Yes.
Sparkling.
Yes.
Oh, I think I've cheated though, because didn't I see you with a bottle of San Pellegrino, the lemon one?
Yeah.
So is that a bit in there as well?
Yeah, there's a lemon and mint San Pellegrino in here.
And an Imodium.
An Imodium, just to really cover all bases.
Great. You're welcome. It's lovely. It's not too sweet.
No, it's not.
It could have been too sweet. It's not too sweet.
I hate a sweet cocktail, famously.
I accept and I take it. Thank you very much.
It is a sparkling wine. It is a little bit of elderflower. It is some pomegranate, which is giving it the devil vibe rather than the whispering angel.
Very good.
And why whispering? Because the sparkle's like fizzing.
Because there is a wine called Whispering Angel.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm only familiar with Blue Nun. I'm classy.
I'm so sad that Blue Nun and Black Tower are cheapy brands of wine because they have lovely names.
Let's not forget Lambrusco Bianco.
Lovely
that
name for
reminds girl. Me. Yes, Blue Nun. I heard about that when that priest got good times. Yeah, we should talk about this, shouldn't we? Well, priest, vicar. Mm. Priest, but like in the Anglican church. I went around for dinner at their house.
You?
Yeah. I was invited to the vicarage. So I went for dinner in a vicarage. Ooh, he came to a stand-up
show. How glamorous.
I know. And I was like, what do I take? And they were like, Blue Nun. So I have, you know, I've been in the opposite of hell. Well, actually, no, because it really wasn't
that's
heaven.
Hell.
But I've been to it, yeah, precisely. Yeah. I've been to a vicarage for a non-believer.
Yeah.
What did they serve?
Like kind of a, I think it was a roast. If
oh, really?
I remember correctly.
Was
yeah,
it good?
Very traditional. It was absolutely fine.
That's what you would expect.
Protestant roast.
All of the food in
Beige.
Heaven is, I think, just about fine.
Yeah.
I think that is. That the Last Supper, I don't look at that and think that's gourmet.
Delish.
I don't it's not delish.
Yeah.
There's a reason there was treason against each other afterwards.
Yes, but that's because they're so moderate. That's because they're so reasonable. There's no gluttony. Yeah. There's no greed.
Which
there's no excess.
Boring.
Yeah.
There's going to be no opulence to that meal. No glamour to it.
No.
It's going to be very much in the sort of like what's good for our bodies and also doesn't take the piss. Whereas all good food is about excess. Well, not even necessarily so much excess of what you're eating. It's just like it's got to be. I mean, I say this as someone who regularly eats pot noodles, but do you know what I mean?
I
sound like I'm a foodie, but I don't even cook.
I bet Judas makes a good roast. I bet Judas serves a good brunch.
I bet Judas does a good pot noodle.
I bet he does do a good pot noodle. Tati?
Yeah?
How do you think you
died?
You harmonised?
How
do you think you died?
Well, I thought, you know, I mean... It would be fun if it was something stupid, like I choked on a croissant. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like something, I feel like something like that, like pastries were just like, you've spoken about us enough, like, fuck you. Or like I did another like taste test around London and I went and tried like 1,500 croissants or something and then just died in a terrible like croissant.
What a way to go. That's how I would like to go.
Yeah, that would be, you know, she died doing what she loves.
Yeah.
Making blood. Content.
Her blood was flaky.
Yeah, making content.
She died live on a story. Somehow in her last moments her muscle spasmed and posted it.
I think that would be a fun way to go. Realistically, like a cycling accident.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're living...
Just want to cover all bases.
Yeah, okay. So you're arriving with like tire marks up you.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, good.
Free helmet.
Just
yeah.
like with like my gold helmet, but like off center because I didn't want to make it too tight because I have like an elaborate hairdo underneath it.
Oh, covered in still some flakes on you. From just like
yeah, from like the croissant I was using at the same time as I was cycling, and then also like earphones on, even though I know I shouldn't listen to music when I cycle, but also like it was quite a long cycle and I was really bored.
I just cannot bring myself. There was a point in time where I was like, I'm going to get a bicycle. I'm going to become a cycling Londoner.
I'd pay to see you in a big helmet.
But I was like, I don't know anyone that's not had a near-death experience who cycles in London.
Touch wood, me. Yeah.
Have you never had anything, even when you've been like, oh, could have been then?
I tell you what, I did once hit a car.
Okay, I've never had a near-death experience other than that car crash I was involved in.
No, car crash implies you get hit by a car. I hit.
Oh, you hit the car.
A stationary car.
Oh, God, how?
Because I was going to over... It was like slowing down traffic and I was going to overtake it. And as I looked to my right to see if I could overtake it, I was still moving forward at a slow pace, not realising the traffic at the front was at a standstill, and I just went straight into the back of the car. It was an Uber driver. He got out of his car and he was...
Oh, really?
Pissed. I was ready... I mean, and I was sort of like, I was not, like, I stayed.
Yeah, that's
what's the
good.
Etiquette in that yeah. situation? Run. It's like, I'm not going to pay for it, but also, like, I kind of stayed. So I was like, it's fine, not knowing if it was fine. And then he went, you better not have hit it. And he came out, he looked and he went, sort of like begrudgingly went, okay,
it was fine.
My toxic trait is I would immediately blame it on him.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be
yeah.
like, you just reversed your car no, back you, into my bicycle.
You would not. You would shit yourself. In that, but it's absolute shock. And that was enough to shock me, bearing in mind that I hit at like 5 miles an hour a stationary car, and I was like, oh my God, that felt really intense.
Yeah.
Like, what would that be like? That... I've fallen on pavements a couple of times.
Oh, I have a friend whose brother, someone opened their car door and he went flying over the car door.
Really careful of
smashed
that.
Smashed his teeth out.
Oh.
Smashed his teeth out.
Accident yeah. one thing, but like yeah. bad yeah. beauty.
You've got to be really yeah. careful of that. And what I would say, and I mean, I'm going to bring up cyclists again at some point because that's a big thing for me when it comes to like pet peeves and things that get my nerves. But there are some people who are horrifically bad cyclists.
Oh.
And you are kind of yeah. like, I see how you're going to die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're cutting through traffic. You're going through red lights. You're not, you should always have a safe distance from like parked cars just in case. Like, you have to be alert to shit.
Yeah. Driving in London makes you despise. I mean, I will say also pedestrians drivers well. Are. Yeah, or everyone that's not a driver. But when you are driving through, the things yeah. some cyclists do, crazy. Yeah.
I'm a cyclist and I see what they do and I'm just like, oh God, way giving us a bad reputation.
Yeah, under the tyres you go.
Anyway, very pedestrian of me, but yes.
Okay.
I think that's obviously a possibility. My right. mum will hate to hear this, but yeah.
Well, then we will brush you down.
Yeah.
And we'll ask you, just for the funding, we don't have to do this to you, but we do have to write something down. What's your personal idea of hell?
Okay, so let me get my list up.
Okay. We love a prepared arrival.
Oh my God. 12 hours on a bus. On a coach, on a coach tour trip, 50 tourists, 50, let's say it, American tourists. We're doing Windsor, Bath and Stonehenge. We get on at 7:15 a.m. We don't get back to London until 8 o'clock that night. It's the middle of summer. The aircon on the bus is not working and there's a huge amount of traffic.
Yeah, yeah, and one toilet.
And working.
Yeah,
an unworking toilet.
And who's doing the voice? Who's on the mic?
Me, I'm in charge.
Oh, wow.
This is based on real life experience.
Oh, really?
This is a job I used to have.
Oh my God.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh my God, what you were the...
Come on, give us a little bit on your left is Stonehenge. Let's...
Welcome. So wonderful to have you all. This is your tour of Windsor, Bath and Stonehenge. We'll be starting in Windsor. That will be our first stop to see the beautiful 11th century castle, Windsor Castle. Then we'll be moving on to Bath, where you'll get a chance to visit, go back further in history, visit the Romans. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be finishing off our day way back in the past. We're going all the way back to... a long time ago, with the World Heritage UNESCO site, Stonehenge. I'm going to be a tour guide for the day. I'll be talking through these different locations. But for the moment, as you've just got on board, and I'm sure some of you are still a bit jet lagged, why not just have a nap?
Excuse me, ma'am.
That's it.
Why isn't the toilet flushing?
And is there a Southern Belle in the coach?
Yeah. She's a fan in her sail.
Full size hat, 3-piece skirt, corset.
Ma'am, I just decimated the toilet. Why ain't it working? That is hell. Okay, so you are on a perpetual circuit. How long were you doing that for?
I was doing it. I must have started in like straight out of drama school, like 2016, until the pandemic.
Yes, and that's on your IMDb, isn't it?
Excuse me?
Isn't that on your IMDb, your post-drama school
job
the Greyhound bus going around?
Look, the thing is, some tours were fine. You know what I mean? Some tours were okay, but other tours were hellish.
Yeah.
Did you do them in French as well?
I sometimes did them in French. Yeah. When I did them in French, I had to do them bilingual. Oh.
Oh, so you're doing both.
So I was doing both. Oh, and then sometimes the customers, who were often actually Canadian, and from French-speaking part of Canada, and there's a real thing in French-speaking part of Canada about the prioritization of French language over English language. Yeah. And I'd have to be like, well, I have to do it twice. So I'd have to do it first in English. Then I'd have to switch over the frequency to do it in French. And they'd be like, yeah, but we've heard it all now in English already. And I'd be like, well, I don't know what you want me to do. You know, put noise cancelling headphones on.
Oh,
like, I have two, and you know, we're talking about buses, like 50 people, and sometimes they can't sit next to each other, and it's hot, and you get stuck in traffic, and sometimes you get to Windsor, and you have to be like, you've only got half an hour to look at Windsor Castle, even though we spent an hour and 15 minutes.
Run around it.
Nothing. Around it. The amount of admin.
But how much
so triggering.
Did the driver? Presumably you weren't also driving.
They don't get involved at all. They just get half the tips at the end.
What happens if you like lose one?
I used to do day trips for pensioners. I don't know if you know this trick, which you count the empty seats. It's a quick way to count people on a coach.
Yes, yeah.
But one time we gained a person, and I had to go through the coach and be like, were you on this trip? And she literally was like, I saw a bus in Rye going towards Hastings. I'm like, we've kidnapped Bridget. But I never lost anyone.
How did you get her back to her family?
Service station. The family had to come. I was like, I'm so sorry.
We've kidnapped your elderly mother.
Oh, no. I've lost people all the time.
Oh, my God.
It's quite common to
lose
people.
They're still stuck in Bath.
You should hear the stories. I remember, well, my worst story was when I was in Paris. Because I did tours of Paris, and those are much more palatable. You know, you meet them at St. Pancras Station, 6 a.m. So that was an early wake-up call. But you'd be like, right, we're going to get on the Eurostar. I would purposefully, though I was sat in the same carriage as them, technically, I'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm sat in a different carriage. And then I'd go and find a seat as far away from them as possible. And then I'd be like, I'll meet you in Paris. Once, oh God, my first tour, I would just... Honestly, I was just like, yeah, I can do this. I was desperate for work. And I knew, and they were like £210 a day. And I was just I can do this. So I'd been on one prep tour and then was like, yeah, I can definitely run the tour. Even though I had never been to Paris. Like, I'd grew up in France, but didn't know Paris, right? I was just like, I'm going to get by talking French and then just giving the impression that I know more than I do. And so on that first tour that I did, I remember like studying for an exam. I was sat there with my phone just going through like the Eiffel Tower, built in what year, Anyway, fell asleep, woke up in Paris with my clients knocking the Eurostar window.
Oh my gosh.
Being like, get up. And it was just me on notes. I had a little guidebook.
Oh my gosh.
Like Paris for idiots.
Still like one step ahead of them, and that's all you need.
I think that's the Eiffel Tower.
I was like, welcome to your $500 a day tour.
Oh my God.
With your expert tour guide. No, there was one person who I had to leave in Paris. Because her visa was not, she couldn't get back into the UK with her visa.
Oh, what? Was she from
the
UK?
Such a mess. No, she was from the Emirates. And so basically, Emirates have a kind of visa where you cannot, and anyone here, there's like six countries, Emirates, I think Oman, something with the Gulf. Anyway, you can't go to Paris and come back into the UK. So we turn up at passport control, and this one was very anxious. She was there with her younger brother, and they were like, she can't leave the country. And she was like, what? She was like, but I don't have anything. Thank God she was rich. So I was but you'll be fine. I was like, I'm sure your Gucci handbag will get you. Just sell that. You'll be okay.
Trade that for a couple of nights.
Yeah, exactly. Lodge. But they were like, it's going to take 3 days before she can get a visa approved.
Oh, my God.
And I just had to be like...
Au revoir.
In the guidebook. Like,
I literally had to be like, sorry.
On your right is Stonehenge. It's UNESCO. So, bye.
That's sex for you. And I was talking about it with a colleague of mine. He was a tour guide, and I was like, oh my God, the worst thing happened. Not only did I lose a client, I had to leave her in Paris for like 3 days on her own. She doesn't even speak French. And he said, oh, that's not the worst thing that ever happened. He was like, oh God, it was like me once. I had a client die on a tour.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
We shouldn't laugh, but we
love
it. Laugh.
Okay, we're going to combine all of this so that you are just circling around, repeating. You are going to be touring France, Paris, with no information. You forget it every time.
Yeah.
And also, you also have to do the Bath, Windsor.
All of it. On tour. On loop.
Yeah.
On loop. Wouldn't that be your worst nightmare? Yeah.
Death.
The comedian Steve Bugeo told me about a trip he went on. He went to Mexico on a tour. And it's like there's a coach and there's a load of them. And I think great way to meet people and whatever. But I was honestly like my worst nightmare.
Yeah, no, I'd rather.
Being on a coach with people I don't know is not a holiday.
Yeah, I would rather walk.
Especially British coach. Like the American ones with the big toilets are a bit different. But like.
Oh, like the. Yeah.
Yeah.
A tour bus.
A tour bus.
A camper van.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course you'd Beyonce it up. It'd be like, I'd do it if it was a private jet.
This episode is brought to you by Rakuten. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including Headliners, Ulta, Ray-Ban, and Canon. Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals during Big Give Week, May 6th to May 13th. The cash back rates are even bigger. I'll be shopping for Adidas and Fenty. You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. Join today for free and get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of Big Give Week's 15% cash back. You won't see higher cashback rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. Rakuten. Shoppers get it.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, so we've got you here in hell. Mm-hmm. We want to ask you a couple of bits. Why do you think the devil's got you on her list? What are your worst qualities?
I've been thinking about this. I think my worst quality is that I'm always late.
Oh, we're gays. Though. We love that.
That's fine. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think that's my worst quality. But like, it's got to the point now where it's like, I'm not even apologetic about it. Yeah. I'm just kind of like...
How late are we talking?
It really depends. I think probably the worst case was like 45 minutes.
Oh. I think if you tell someone a time, you have an hour window.
Thank
side.
You. We're like friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I feel
like. Because you
I
and I never give a specific time. We give
no.
A, we say, I'll be there between 4 to 8 ish.
I miss, I miss a sundial. I want to be working on like nautical time where it is
that's
like,
great. Yes.
You know. The gloaming.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Noon, dusk, like that. Give me that.
I'm in the wrong era.
Yeah.
It's you, like, it's all too technology now.
You belong in the 1300s.
Also, you might meet someone on Grindr. You'll be busy. You know, you get waylaid. We all
Tati
do.
Might meet someone on Grindr.
She did great on Grindr.
Who would I meet on Grindr? Is it for, do heterosexuals go on Grindr?
You might find a bi
but icons can, and the gays would be all over you.
Oh, yeah.
You. I was in a bathhouse. I was doing a tour. Okay, yeah, lateness. I mean, on board with
sorry,
it.
Sorry, can I ask you a bit? Is there a French Grindr?
Grindr. Yeah, no, it's
do you
really
know
popular.
This? Are you testing this?
I think the Grindr is probably in France, actually.
Yeah, and no, it's called Grindr.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just the same. Yeah, I mean, it's really popular.
What
in
is
Paris.
The verb to grind in?
What does grinding mean? Like,
well,
to, like,
to crush a spice.
Your... I don't know how I'm doing it immediately.
Gyrating in your seat.
I'm thinking about it. Maybe the action will help me find the word. Grindr. Écrasé.
I'll do the dance as you.
I don't know.
What about just if you were like using a pestle and mortar?
I'm thinking about that.
Yeah.
I can tell you, Grindr in Paris is very popular, but they don't show their faces. They show their charcuterie a lot.
More than in England. In England, yeah. are we
I imagine they do, yes.
Just a saucisson.
Yeah.
Straight out.
I did meet a gentleman by a Jewish deli. We met in the Jewish quarter. And faces wasn't
I know,
more.
In Le Marais.
Yeah, what's Finkelstein's? Is that the name of the deli?
I don't know, but if it's in Le Marais is the Jewish quarter and also the gay quarter.
Well, Grindr was active there. It was very active.
Have you heard the old LA joke, which is, what do you get if you put a Jew and a gay in a closet for 24 hours?
Go on.
A Broadway show. Which I love because my writing partner, who I write musicals with, is a Jewish woman together.
And what would you say are your worst vices or your guilty pleasures?
Oh, yeah, guilty pleasures.
Ooh.
Pleasures. Thank you.
I'm not a very guilty pleasure kind of person.
You're not?
No. It's funny that, like,
I would have had you down for being like, well.
No, I'm very, like, people think I drink a lot more than I drink. I don't actually drink that much.
Are you quite, like, restrained? Sort of?
I am quite.
That's, again, very sensible. French, though, isn't it?
I'm quite sensible. Yeah. Like, I actually, this year I had a whole thing where I was like, I'm going to be less sensible.
I'll have two wines.
But literally. You're... I was like, I'm going to drink on a Thursday.
Where's your English side from? Not Watford, I'm guessing.
Like... No, my mum was born in London, but she's Welsh and Scottish.
Right, okay.
And your mum is quite famous on your social media accounts.
Yeah, DIY Liz.
Yeah, and she's... Is she vegan?
Yes.
Very organic.
Yes.
So this is maybe has... You've sort of absorbed
it. Oh, 100%. Oh my God, my mum is like absolutely not someone... There's no excess.
Yeah, she doesn't strike me as an indulging character.
Excuse me, once I made porridge with water and I suggested putting some nuts on top and she said, let's not gild the lily. I was like, Mum, it's porridge made with water.
It's literally gruel.
They were giving people this in prison in the 15th century. Like, what the hell are you talking
about?
Even
Charles Dickens meant us to see that and go, oh, poor you.
Yeah, exactly. And my mum goes, nuts. Nuts. What, are we going to add some walnuts onto that? What are we made of, money? No, so what are my vices? Oh, probably like, okay, so... buying fashion,
a little shopping.
A little bit. I can be quite choose. I have.
But you're very good at getting a bargain, though.
I am quite good at getting a bargain, but it's only the ones I talk about. But there's a lot of stuff. Or like, what is a bargain if it's like this was £1,000? I paid 700. It's like I have so many pairs of shoes. I have shoes in boxes that I've never worn. I have shoes which are not wearable.
Because come back to
when
you go.
If you were like, I just have shell suits at home, I'd be like, oh my God, who is Daddy? This is quite on brand, no?
Great. So that is my vice. And then, yeah, this year I was like, I'm going to be less sensible. I'm going to be a bit wilder. I honestly was. And then I was like, why not occasionally have a cigarette? I can't even say it.
Oh my God. I'm scared. You're such a good girl.
I was like, why not occasionally have a cigarette? And then I started going out and I'd be like, have like one cigarette on a night out. And I wake up the next day and I'd be like, I think I've aged 10 years. I feel like my pores are blocked. I can't do it.
That's Daniel after 2 minutes in the sun.
Yes. Yeah. 1 second over my SPF's given time. I like to think that you're sprinkling like a pinch of flax seeds on top of your porridge and your mum somewhere in France is going... She's like, sensed it. Okay, love that. What is the worst thing you've ever done that you're willing to own up to on this podcast?
I think I have already spoken about this on a different podcast, so I don't know.
I doubt it's good.
Want to hear it, but it still stays with
me.
Still
want to
hear it. It's
probably
been the worst thing I've done.
Go on.
And it's so... Okay, so given the context of, like, what, you know, my mum was like, as in, like, no processed foods, ideally everything organic, no...
I just want to say mine was the same.
No refined sugar.
How this worked out for me? I rebelled. You obviously didn't rebel.
Oh, you both have very organic, like, no chemicals mums.
When I saw your story about your mum having the nest of something, she doesn't know what it was.
Yeah, I was like,
that's like my mother. My mother does that with kids. I'm like, mum, who's that child living up? I needed a parent. Okay.
So this very kind of like mum wouldn't buy anything that had refined sugar in it. Anyway, when I was a child, when I was like 7, and I was in primary school, I used to steal chocolate brioche.
That's so cute, though.
Out of the school
middle
bag.
Middle-class thing I've ever heard.
It's French, to be fair.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
French.
Or French, yeah, yeah.
Out of the school bag of another girl at school.
You stole it off child.
Yeah. Oh. And I would do it ritualistically. And I don't even remember, like...
Define.
Okay, so probably I didn't like her, but I couldn't say it at the time.
Yeah.
She was quite, like, perfect.
Yes.
In that very, like... You've got to bear in mind, I was like this, like... a bit scatty kind of child. I remember being a bit of a loner. I was like the English girl. So I could speak French, but I was definitely still very English at that point.
Mm-hmm.
A single mum, these sisters, like I, and then she was just like very French, very pretty, very French girl. And I was always late for school. That was also a hereditary trait. And I'd turn up late and I would just knew which one her school bag was. I knew she'd get this little brioche called un pitch, and I would open up her school bag. And I would take the peach and I would go into a corner of the playground at lunchtime or break time and I'd eat it.
I love that.
And she never said, because I'd be in the shadows being like, I'll find out who's stealing this.
No, because she was a real good girl. So she obviously told her mum and then the mum told the teacher and I watched her mum tell the teacher and I thought, I think they're talking about the missing brioche. And then the next day I came into school and did the routine again.
You knew they were on the lookout?
I mean, I was eight. I don't think...
Here's your kid's book.
Thank you. And then the teacher just opened the door and caught me red-handed with my hand in that girl's school bag. And she sort of said nothing. And then at the break time, she took me to one side. And I think with real like pity, she sort of said... Why? She was like, mais pourquoi?
I can't even have a handful of hazelnuts.
And then, literally, and then she told my mum, I remember my mum just being like a bit like, the eyebrows sort of going down. And I think she might have loosened the rules a bit after that.
Yeah.
Not that she let us ever buy like chocolate or whatever, but she let us have enough refined sugar in the house that we were able to make cakes.
Yeah,
which
okay.
Is what the next stage was.
The rationing.
That's. I mean, that's pretty bad, you know.
That's pretty bad. Pretty. When you said ritualistically,
yeah.
I was envisioning you slitting this girl's throat with an obsidian dagger, taking her brioche, dipping it in the blood, and being bon appetit, and then like wolfing it down.
And that's honestly the only thing I've ever stolen. I've not even stolen something from a shop. I'm so sensible. It's embarrassing.
God, I regularly steal.
Okay, but here's the thing. My mum had a shop.
I wouldn't steal from your mum.
Yeah, thank you. That's what everyone says. But I think that I was raised, I used to have to watch people so they weren't stealing. So like school kids that I knew would come in and I'd have to watch them to make sure they weren't stealing from my mum's shop.
Oh, fun.
So right. I've got a very different relationship to stealing, and stealing is just like absolutely not okay. So I don't steal. I've never taken drugs.
Nor I.
Yeah, well, there we go. There's a bit of sensitivity.
No comment here. For me. The first time I officially got caught stealing, I was 7, Woolworths. I stole My Little Pony, Lickety Spit Fortress.
And that's when I knew I was gay.
and I said, this is for my sister. They said, how old is she? I said, 21. And the woman went, is it really for your sister? I said, no, don't tell my mother. And I made the woman ring my mum. Well, she had to ring my mum, but I said, don't tell her it was He-Man or something like Butch. And she did. She said he was caught stealing toys.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
What an ally.
Yeah. Oh, bless her. I know.
That's nice.
I bet she had a lot of like empathy for you in that moment.
She must have been like, this little gayling's got enough going on.
Yeah. He's been stealing toys.
Oh, my goodness.
My Irish mother coming up being like, which tie was it? Was it Optimus Prime?
Who was I with the other day who's got a great story about stealing as well with an Irish dad?
It's part of our culture. We've stolen back our land.
It will come to me. No, I did. I did show I did in Scotland, and someone had a really funny story around that as well.
There was like a real trend of stealing around secondary school.
That's
I feel.
All we did. Back
French
then.
People are really bad for it.
Really?
Well, my mum used to say that, and I don't know if that was just a little bit of casual racism, or if it was like because she had a shop in France, or if it's actually true. But I think French people are quite bad for stealing.
That's interesting.
They are on the continent generally, though, aren't they?
I love those videos. Motherland. The mainland.
Those videos that have gone viral of people saying pickpocket is Italy or Spain or somewhere. Yeah, yeah.
Now they're starting to do it in Paris as well.
Wouldn't have the same chic here. Pickpocket! Would it? It wouldn't land the same.
No. So we don't have it as bad.
No. What's pickpocket? Vol à la tire?
No, they actually say pickpocket.
Oh, well, ruined my pickpocket. People used to just steal, like, I remember around like 14 years old, I didn't do this, but it was like the thing to just go to a Boots.
Yeah.
And girls would just really brazenly fill bags with like every, this was the era of the nude lip. Do you remember that?
Do you mean the foundation lip?
Yeah, the foundation. Yeah, not the glamorous like lipstick that's still the colour of it, but like foundation, and it would just form a crusty lip.
Yeah.
And they would just
that's
fill their bags.
Back.
Is it coming back?
It's coming back. Do you not look at the youth, and just be like, everything is coming back.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
yeah, curtains.
At the time when they were all shitting on the skinny jean, I thought, you wait, because the speed you went from 80s to 90s, and now you're on the early 2000s, they're wearing the gladiator belt, they're wearing all of that shit. I'm like, you're going to be nude-lipping.
And let's be honest, fringing. The problem with it is that you just have to, like, our wardrobes are having to, like, quadruple. Mm. I can't let anything go. I look at it and I think, I hate this now. Will it come back?
I can't wait for the Regency era to come back. I want to wear a bust. I'll do the women. I'll have the extravagant wigs that are in like the shape of a ship. I want that. You know, in The Duchess, when Keira Knightley's hair sets fire?
But don't you find, this is one of the problems I have with contemporary society, is that is that I really, it's the whole reason why I have so many heels that I've not worn. I love the image, I love the look. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't have an occasion to wear it to.
You have to bring it into real life.
You have to bring it into everyday life. The reality is, here's what happens. I go to myself, oh, do you know what, today I could just wear those heels. And then I look outside and I think, well, you're going to cycle into town. What are you going to do? Wear those heels.
You must
wear that
stop
jacket.
Cycling.
You have to You have to start getting cabs if you want to look fabulous.
You do.
And you can't walk very far.
There is nothing more depressing than seeing someone extravagant and amazing and then being like, but they're on the tube. That said, I was sat next to Fiona... I was sitting next to Fiona Shaw on the tube the other day.
I don't know who she is.
Fiona Shaw. An amazing actor.
Yeah, you'll know
she
her.
She is... she's Aunt Petunia of Harry Potter is the famous one, but she was also in Killing Eve.
Okay.
She's the main spy boss. She's in...
I'll Google her later.
You will.
That's
anyway,
impressive.
Very fabulous. But she... generally...
I sat next to Hugh Grant recently. Sorry.
I saw that on your story. Yeah.
That's fun. Okay. Tatty. Yeah. It is the 21st century. Mm-hmm. The seven deadly sins are very outdated. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love a bit of lust? Who shouldn't have some pride? Mm-hmm. Hey. Whatever. So we're rewriting the list of sins for the modern day. Mm-hmm. What would you like to add to the list? What would you like to throw into the eternal fire?
So many different things. Slow walking.
Yes, spin, fire. Yes.
I would like to add men who wear head-to-toe lycra when cycling.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. You see the lumps and knots, don't you?
A lot of dads have gone up in flames.
I'm not even body shaming, but it's just like, you work in middle management. Yeah. You're going from like, you know, Richmond to Westminster. Like, it's not that long a site. Like, let's just calm down. Yeah.
How's half of France just gone up in flames there?
What do you mean?
Aren't there a lot of like French men that do the double lycra?
Yeah, but I tell you what, like, they're doing it on a weekend when they're doing like a 50-kilometer cycle.
Okay.
You don't see men going around Paris in lycra. Mm. Like, that's never happening. Toby works in IT going around Paris in lycra.
I do sometimes wonder when I look at them going and I think, did the lycra come first? Did the desire for lycra come first and the cycling is an excuse?
And they have a bike that it doesn't have to be expensive or as fast as what they've got. And then they'll spend all of their weekend cycling when it's like, you know, you've got families.
You've
I judge
got a newborn
it.
Baby.
I judge it. I absolutely hate it.
Okay. Yeah, accepted. It's in the furnace.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I thought we had a list of things. No?
Well, no, I mean, I feel like a lot of the other stuff we've sort of like covered, really. Tours is like a top one. That's hatred. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Do I need to come up with more?
No, you don't know.
Shoes that have both zips and laces.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I judge people on that.
You don't need to come up with more.
So you're here in hell. We're going to put you to work, obviously. Mm-hmm. You could do whatever you want. You could possess someone. You could haunt someone. You could be a demon. You could be a ghoul. You could be a jinn. What would you like to...
do
please finish your sentence.
Just because I'm so excited. So a little bit of a callback to like my tour guiding days, but wouldn't it be fun to haunt the royal palaces?
Yes,
but as Anne Boleyn. I'm not actually Anne Boleyn, but like I'm dressed up as Anne Boleyn.
You are cosplaying Anne Boleyn.
They don't know what Anne Boleyn looks like. Like, for all intents and purposes, I'm Anne Boleyn.
Okay, what are you doing?
And I haunt like everything. Like, it'd be so fun. So like I'm just like having fun messing around with tourists. Do you know what I mean? Like the crown jewels. I'm just sort of like floating about, just like really like driving them mad.
I love that.
I'm playing with the beef eaters' hats.
And for a bit, you can sort of corporealize so that you look solid. So people are like, oh my God, this actor is really getting into it. And they're like a bit like, they're a bit cringe. They're like, oh, this woman's a bit cringe. And then you just fucking float through a wall. And
But then also you can really like go to town with like calling to account anyone, because there's always you know, there's loads of dignitaries that stay in Buckingham Palace and so like, you know, like Prince Andrew, I'm there in the ear. I'm just sort of like, I'm your ancestor, come back to sort of haunt you. Like, there's the scope of what you can play with is mega.
I love that.
Check out what's going on backstage with like Harry and, you know, Kate, and you know, you can, I mean, not that, because you know, obviously she's not well, so let's not get we're not to talk about that anymore. But you know, Meghan and Harry, that would be really fun.
That I agree.
That's delicious.
I fully love that. Mm. Okay, we'll rubber stamp that. You can have that as your job.
Also, like the look, the fits.
This is what I'm saying. Take me back. That's my era. Why? Yeah. We keep cycling from like 80s to 2010. Take me back to 1570 or whenever it was.
Yeah, but you don't want to dress as the man in 1570.
No,
yeah.
I want to dress as the woman.
Can you imagine you in a cod piece?
That's I absolutely can. Thank you. I will say, even the men had more flamboyant, fun outfits.
Yeah. Oh
my God, I'd love to dress as a cardinal. Anyway,
each week we invite our listeners to write in with their confessions and grievances for us to judge. Would you help us to be the referee this week, Tati?
Of course.
Also, if you want to submit a letter, you may. You can do it at judgment@hellpod.com or go to our website www.hellpod.com and use the anonymous form. I shall be mother now. Licked the finger, didn't need to. I just felt dramatic. Okay. Hello, lovely people. Thank you. I absolutely adore the podcast, and I was wondering if you have any devilish advice. We are usually in the business of judgments, but usually. We will
love
usually.
That.
But as infernal aunties, agony aunting is within our purview. So yes, we will give you advice. My downstairs neighbour is a musician and, like myself, is in his 50s. His latest fad, these fads have included a didgeridoo, is awful rapping. I have very diverse tastes in music and I love a bit of hip-hop. Missy Elliott and Nicki Minaj are on my regular playlist. However, a middle-aged man making a terrible job of trying to be Eminem makes me wince. I consider myself to be a considerate neighbour and put up with a lot of jamming. However, this horrendous travesty pretending to be music is just too much. How do I stop this terrible noise?
Gosh. I mean, are you joking?
Literally, what do you do with a 50-year-old man thinking he's Eminem downstairs?
Well, first of all, you knock on his door and you tell him to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you can swear.
I mean, that's just the first thing that I'd be doing. There's no doubt about that.
You're straight in.
Oh, I'm straight in.
Flanked by
tigers by my and tigers, panthers. And... You know, 6-inch heels, naked. I just, 100%. Knock on the door. Hi, I can hear you upstairs. It's bothering me.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you please stop?
There are only so many times I can hear, can the real Slim Leonard please stand up?
And if he doesn't do it, then I think you've just got to say, like, look, it's actually really inappropriate.
Mm.
That's not your wheelhouse.
Soundtrack. She doesn't
you know,
need that in her
that's
life.
Yeah. That's not appropriate for you to be saying that. That's not part of your... you know, your age, your...
No, you are. I would say you have a lot of power as the upstairs neighbour. One, he must be so loud as the downstairs neighbour to be causing you bother. But two, as the upstairs neighbour, you have access to stamping. You have access to screaming. You can be moving furniture around. Yeah, you begin a war.
Seem very triggered there, Dad.
My upstairs neighbour... Oh, is the most flat-footed fuck you've ever met in your life.
Without flat feet.
I just don't know what she's doing, but she must be walking like heel first.
Yeah.
And it is like, if I'm trying to record a little sketch or a video, I have to stop if she's on the move.
Oh
and she
God.
Will just like do laps.
Have you spoken to her?
You can feel it in your flat.
No, it's too long as gone. Mm. I feel mean now because I couldn't say, hi, can you walk a bit softer? Because it's been like 3 years.
So you've come on a podcast.
So I've come on a podcast and I'm hoping she listens.
Your flat reverberates though.
It literally you've been literally, it, yeah. I tried to record it. You can't really record it because it's not a noise, it's a feeling. It's like the dinosaur
okay,
in
so
Jurassic
real?
Park. Like
it vibrates through
is,
the walls.
Yeah.
People get obsessed with it. This is what you've got. Also, what I would say to this person is you've got to be really careful because it can take over your life. Like I've known people become so obsessed with like the noise coming through that it's like all they can think about all of the time.
Right,
so you have to kind of be really careful that it doesn't take over your life and that you're either like nipping it in the bud or you're chill enough that you can live with it.
I'm going to say to this person, as someone suffering from this, get straight in there. As Tati said, nip that bud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nip it clean off.
But if you don't, a mop every now and 3 a.m. to get them back.
A mop on the ceiling at 3 a.m. As the upstairs neighbour.
Put a nap on the floor.
Yeah, stamp on the floor. You can wake them up at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And when they come up and they say, can you please be quiet? You go, can you please be quiet? You could do an exchange. I'll be quiet if you stop doing that absurd sound. Or you need to get him laid because a 50-year-old man who's rapping Eminem is not a man that is in a loving relationship.
Or go knock on his door and just be like, hey, I don't know, are you also hearing the other neighbour?
I think it's next door. They're doing this terrible
it's
cringe
like such
rapping.
Such a bad rendition of like Eminem. Like it's embarrassing. Like,
what should we do about
he's
it?
He's really problematic and no one listens to him anymore.
That's delicious.
That's a really good plan. Mm. Tati, last but not least, before we process you into the inferno proper, we do ask new arrivals to answer a quickfire hellfire eligibility survey. This is first answers only. We have not prepared you for this.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Just to say I did Spanish and Irish at school. My French pronunciation is interesting.
Okay, great.
One, Croissant or sausage roll?
Croissant.
Spring or summer?
Spring.
I'm trying to say this right in French. Olivia Colman or Meryl Streep?
Meryl Streep.
Beach or city?
Beach.
Forgiveness or revenge?
Revenge.
Trainers or heels?
Heels.
Cheese or wine?
Cheese.
Shakespeare or a musical?
I take it back. Wine.
Oh, pass us as any answer. Shakespeare or a musical?
Shakespeare.
Daniel or Dane?
Oh, don't. I'm not even answering that question. How dare Daniel. You?
I mean, I'm a semi-ethnic, but you've known her longer.
Meanies.
King's Cross or Gare du Nord?
King's Cross.
Okay.
Joan of Arc or Boudicca?
Boudicca.
Joni Mitchell or Taylor Swift?
Joni Mitchell.
Would you punch a child for £1 million?
Yes.
Tati McCloud, welcome,
welcome
to hell.
Welcome to hell, darling.
I love that quick fire.
You were great really as well. Fun. Sometimes people do a little one-woman show about it, don't yeah. they? But you were like, boom, boom,
you were
boom.
Like, you really knew, you know yourself. Tati is currently touring her debut hour, Fugue, around the UK. It's fantastic. I saw it in Edinburgh. I absolutely loved it. Tickets for the last leg of the tour went like absolute wildfire, but she has now added a load of new dates this autumn in October and November 24. So do go check that out at tatimcloud.com. Also, be sure to check out her hilarious videos on Instagram and TikTok. If you liked this, be sure to check back for new episodes every Thursday. And if you want to earn yourself a VIP place in hell, hey, why not subscribe to our Patreon? You will get extended guest episodes, find out how Tati would dispose of a body, for example, and extra bonus episodes every month with prices starting at just 75 pence per week. Dane, what is a pence?
They're the things you threw to that little boy so you could go and buy a goose after the three ghosts visited you, remember?
Yes, when Clement and his friends came Clement. To visit me, yes.
What we'd love more than anything is if you'd share this with your friends, your gays, your besties, your shamans. Leave a little review, a 5-star or a 6-star if you want to. We're mainly getting 6 stars now. Add to our many, many reviews. Spread the word, spread everything. And as always, it's tradition I forget this bit and Daniel makes a little comment, but as always, if you want to submit any confessions or grievances for our infernal judgment, you can write to us at judgment@hellpod.com, send us a message on socials at the Hellpod, or use the anonymous form on our website, hellpod.com.
I made that into a dirge just then. Thank you, as always, to Spotify for allowing us to use their beautiful studios, to the angels at Auburn Jam for making our music, and to our producer, Yanis. See you next week.
Bye. Bye.